All right, today on Landry.audio, we've got Jesse Lee Peterson, a black conservative who is known for speaking his mind. If you're familiar with him, it's fair to say his opinions wouldn't be considered mainstream, but he's generating a lot of attention online. He's an author and a syndicated radio and talk show host, and he's taken time out of his day in Los Angeles to speak with me here in Australia. Jesse Lee Peterson, thank you for joining us today.
I appreciate it, Jesse. Thanks for having me on. Nice name, by the way.
I was going to say the same thing, possibly. good genes, good parents, perhaps.
That's right. Absolutely. But thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome, and thanks for taking the time. You're generating, with the internet, anyone can become a star these days, and I was made aware of you fairly recently with some of the pretty unpopular things that you're saying, I guess, to a lot of people, and we're going to talk about that. But before we get into your philosophy, I think it's important to understand your personal history, which has influenced your beliefs. So do you want to just sort of tell us a little bit about your upbringing and, you know, growing up in Alabama?
Absolutely. Long story short, I was born in Alabama on a plantation down near Montgomery, Alabama, more closer to Tuskegee, Alabama. And I grew up under the Jim Crow laws. I remember for colors only signs. I went to a movie theater once down in Eufaula, Alabama, as a teenager, and the blacks had to sit in the balcony because we were not allowed to sit with white people. But as a teenager, I was fine with that because we had great seats. I thought we had the best seats, to be honest. And I worked at cotton fields and cornfields and things like that. The one thing that we had going for ourselves during that time is that we had the grandparents around, the parents around. People got married for the most part. And it was an embarrassment to have children out of wedlock. Abortions were unheard of. I didn't grow up knowing anyone who had an abortion. Didn't even know there was such thing as an abortion. We were not relying on the government. We didn't have so-called black leadership. We were not blaming white people for our problem. There were good white folks and bad ones. And we got along, went to all black school. But life was amazing growing up because it made me the independent person that I am today.
Okay. And we'll talk about that because a lot of your belief system, what you say around today is sort of the degradation of values. But before we get into that, for people like myself who didn't grow up in the U.S., do you want to just briefly explain Jim Crow laws and also just how recently issues like slavery and the civil rights movement has been around? Because clearly you were part of that when growing up.
Well, the Jim Crow laws prevented blacks and whites from using certain facilities together, like supermarkets or bathrooms, movie theaters, and in some cases, blacks would have to go through the back door rather than the front door of a business location. They say we were not allowed to ride on the front of a bus, but in my area, we didn't have that situation because the only buses we took were school buses, and at the time, I was going to an all-black school, so that wasn't an issue. We've been told lately that blacks were not allowed to own land and things like that, but that's not true because one of my aunts, she got married when I was a teenager, and she and her husband bought lots of land, and they got, you know, they had 15 kids or so. All the kids graduated high school and all have graduated from colleges around the country. I had my best friend that I've known since the first grade. He and I went to the same school. His parents owned land, and he didn't have to work the cotton fields and things as I did. But there were certain laws that were restricting blacks. But we knew that not all white people agreed with those laws because there were whites and blacks who still got along in spite of what you've been told today. And slavery had been over for, 200 and some years. And it had nothing to do with the lack of black people functioning today. And so when you hear about slavery, that slavery did this to black people and that, they're lying about that. And also Jim Crow, the Jim Crow laws had nothing to do with the failure of black Americans today. but everything to do with the destruction of the family, the lack of moral character. And most black people, not all, but most do not think for themselves today. They need someone to think for them. And that's why most blacks are suffering today.
So, you know, you're the only person I've really ever heard that says racism doesn't exist. So growing up in this environment with Jim Crow laws, are you telling me that you never faced adversity based on the color of your skin from other people?
First, I want to add there's no such thing as racism, sexism, homophobiaism, Islamphobiaism, deadbeatism, or anti-Semitism. It's not about ism. It's about right versus wrong, good versus evil. Is this good or is this evil? Is this right or is it wrong? And when I was growing up, when we face some adversity from other races, it was not called racism. It was called wrong or right, good or evil. I never heard the so-called word racism until the blacks made it up when they realized that they could control white people by accusing white people, falsely accusing them of being racist. And they discovered that white people were afraid of that word and that whatever white blacks wanted for them, white people would give it to them because they didn't want to be called racist. That's a made up word in order to intimidate, to control, so that the blacks can get free stuff. It's not a real word. It's not true. It's an illusion. Our battle is a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities and wickedness and evil in high places. No such thing as racism. It has never been. When the people were mean in Alabama, whether it's whites toward blacks or white blacks toward whites, we call it wrong. We call it right. We call it what it was, and that way you can overcome it. But if you call it something that is not, you will never overcome it.
Well, I think by expressing that, you'll at least, this has clarified some of your, I guess, your values or the position that you're coming from, because a lot of the things I'm going to ask you are about some, relatively, to a lot of people, outrageous things that you've said. But from what you're saying, you're sort of distilling this in an argument of good versus bad, and that should sort of trump any of the isms or the way that you're otherwise describing it. Is that fair to say?
100%. Even Martin Luther King Jr., when he first started his little movement, he said it was about character and not color. And he had hoped that one day black Americans would be judged by the context of character and not color. Unfortunately, they brought in the government and the so-called black civil rights leaders. By the way, the civil rights movement was the worst thing that could have happened to black people. One of the worst things. Because ever since the so-called movement happened, blacks have been getting worse rather than getting better. And they have more freedom now than any other time that I'm aware of in the history of America. But yeah, they're getting worse because they're irresponsible. They hate all people. They hate white people. They hate the Jewish people. They hate themselves. As long as you have that hatred, you're not going to get better. So he spoke about character. And because most black people lack character, they're judged by the color rather than the character today.
So what do you think in place of it? So with the civil rights movement, which effectively, was a legislated government step to try to force further integration. You don't think that was a good thing. What do you think should anything have replaced it? Or how do you try to assist in, because again, if you're denying that racism exists, obviously there are people that have differences just on the basis of the color of their skin. How do you try to get them to get along?
That's such a good question, Jesse. When I was in a fallen state, once I moved to California, I started listening to the liars like Jesse Jackson and Louis Farrakhan, the NAACP, and most of the black preachers who are not called by God, but by their mama. And they were pushing this lie that it was racist. I believe that in the fallen state. I overcame it once I came out of that fallen state. But all they needed to do, Jesse, was to, during the so-called civil rights movement, was to, make sure that the same laws that protected white people would be the same laws that protected blacks. And if they had just done that and then went back away, went into their corners, we would be better off today as a race than we are now, because there were good white folks and bad white folks, good black people and bad black people, and they would have come together based on character. As a matter of fact, they were already doing that. And so it was a horrible mistake to try to force the races to come together, because you cannot make someone love you. You have to love someone voluntarily. And they tried to make white people and black people love one another, whatever they were trying to do, and it did not work. And that's why things are messed up.
So can you tell us, you know, obviously because of your move to California, from my understanding, this is what started off your ability to start your show, which is now a huge hit. But do you want to tell me about how you moved to California and where you, the process of uncovering or discovering your personal truth of why you, you know, rejected the mainstream black narrative?
I moved to California at the age of 18 because 1 year prior, my aunt and her husband invited me out to babysit for them for a summer. And because she was going to work for the first time, couldn't stay home, wasn't going to stay home with the kids anymore. They were all in school. And so I came out to babysit when I was going from the 11th grade to the 12th. And when I walked off the airplane in California, I knew that I was coming back, because it was like paradise coming from Alabama to California, right? And so as soon as I graduated from high school, I went up to Indiana, from Alabama to Indiana, stayed with my parents and got me a job. And I worked for 2 weeks because I didn't like Indiana at all. My parents lived in Indiana, so I didn't like it. Okay. It was too cold for one thing. And so I got a job at Inland Steel, and I, at 18, because you had to earn your way when you, once you turned 18, nobody was going to take care of you. So I had to work for 2 weeks. I made one paycheck, and I quit the very day I got the paycheck. And I bought a ticket to LA, and I've been here ever since. That was 1968. And, but once I got out here, at some point I started listening to Jesse Jackson and Louis Farrakhan and others, and most of these black preachers. And they were talking about the white man, how bad white people are, and that they hated us because we were black. And I had not heard that growing up in Alabama. And for the first time, I started to resent white people, and because I believed into the lie that was coming from the so-called civil rights leaders. And as you know, we live by faith. It's by belief. And whatever we believe believes in us, and it controls us. And so once I believed a lie, I fell away from what is right. And I started to dislike white people. I was a young man. I was 18, 19, 20, you know, that age. And my life just went to hell in a handbasket, because what you put out is what you get back. And long story short, I ended up on pot. I ended up on the government. And I finally realized, if white people are holding me back because I'm black, why is it that they're not holding Jesse Jackson and Louis Farrakhan and all them people back? And their children, they were married, they were going to the best school, getting the best job. And that's when I realized I had been lied to. So I stopped listening to them. And then I asked God to let me see myself, to understand what is really wrong. And that's when he allowed me to see that I resented my parents. I resented my mother because she tried to turn me away from my father. And the worst thing that can happen to a child, boy or girl, is to be turned away from their fathers. Because when you turn them away from their fathers, you turn them away from their own identity, from God. And so I suffered. When I realized that, I went and forgave my mother for resenting her for what she tried to do. Fortunately, she apologized and admitted she was wrong. And then I didn't realize what she was doing. I returned to my father, forgave him. My whole world changed. And that's when I realized, I woke up from the fallen state and came back into the light by loving my father. That's when I realized we've been lied to. So I started Bond, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. And at that time, Jesse, I had no idea what I was doing, man. Not one idea. One thing just led to another one. And I told the blacks that they had been lied to, and that they needed to forgive, especially the mother, and return to their fathers. And so it's been 29 years have gone by this past February. And it's just been amazing. People who forgive go free, and those who don't are still in a fallen state. It's just been amazing, Jesse. I had no idea of what has happened in the last 29 years.
And so very briefly, I mean, your show is The Fallen State, but for people who are unfamiliar with you, can you explain what The Fallen State is?
Well, we deal with all kinds of issues on The Fallen State because we want to show that human beings are really in a fallen state. Anyone who has anger, any anger is of their father, the devil, and they are in a fallen state. They can't see reality. They're living in illusion. And so what we try to do is bring on these different people who are in a fallen state so that you can see that it has nothing to do with the color of the skin. It has nothing to do with being male or female, but it has everything to do with either right or wrong. And the people who have anger are in a fallen state, they love evil. Those who've awakened love good. And so we deal with politics. We deal with family relationship, men and women relationship, the so-called race relationship. We deal with all kinds of stuff, man. The Black Lives Matter, they ran away. They ran off the stage. They got upset.
have you always been a religious man? Because one of the things that I'm always very, very interested in is the way that people of faith they tend to have very concrete convictions, but there are a number of denominations of any religion, including Christianity. I know that you're a pastor. So how did you come to that path, and do you what's your truth? Is it anyone that believes in Christ will be saved, or do you have to be part of your particular denomination to discover truth?
That's another good question, man. All your questions are really good. Number one, I was born a Baptist. In Alabama, I went to a Baptist church all the time I was there. And so I was Christian in namesake only. But I had not believed in God in the right way that you should believe in Him and return to Him. And so when I came to California and when God allowed me to see that I had this anger in my heart and the thing that was holding me back from Him and from what was right, is that I needed to forgive because no one who has anger will ever be born again. You got to repent. You got to admit you're wrong and go apologize for judging. Anger is judgment. And so when I went and forgave, that's when I was born again. He brought me out because when I forgave others, He forgave me and woke me up. And so I truly believe in Him now because I can see it now for myself. Whereas before, I only believed it because someone said it. And that doesn't cause your life to change. You have to see it for yourself. And the only way you're going to see it, you got to admit that you're wrong. It's wrong to have anger because anger is the nature of Satan. And when you have anger, it's the same as resentment and hatred. You're judging. You're playing God. And no one shall be born again unless they admit they're wrong, that they're not God. And then it'll change. And as far as Jesus, God sent Him and He made it possible for us to be born again by admitting that we are not God, admitting that we are wrong. And through Him, we can return to the Father because when you believe the Son, you believe the Father because the Father sent Him. So you have to believe what the Son said in order to believe into the Father again.
So is that same thing available? Is that the same? The styles, I guess we'll call them styles in terms of denominations, but Catholics believe that, Orthodox Christians believe that, all forms of Protestantism believe that. So are all, say, 150 offshoots of Christianity all following the truth that leads them to the end point?
No. Most of the Christians and Catholics and others do not believe in God. They believe about God. They intellectually believe because somebody went and read the Bible and just came back and quoted the scriptures to them. They read the scriptures and shouted amen, but nothing really changed. And you can see it in their lifestyle because when you truly return to the Father, when you truly believe, you're going to have perfect peace. 30 years have gone by now and I have perfect peace because, the Father, love is perfect. And so when you have His love, it casts out fear and your whole life starts to change. You no longer sin. You no longer hate your fellow man. You no longer just naturally don't do those things that you did before where you could not help yourself. And so most of the Christians, have not been born again. They do believe about God and they would like to have faith, but it's not the faith that comes from within. They have the faith that comes from without, and that does not work.
Okay, so you're really talking about a lived version of Christianity, in your opinion.
Absolutely. It's what you are and what you believe rather than what you say. You have to be that. You have to be a son of God or a daughter of God in order to live that life, the perfect life. And as you notice, most Christians don't, because they have not repented. They have not been born again.
Okay. And we'll start getting into, you know, your opinions on blacks and black society.
By the way, just let me tell you this. There's no such thing as my truth. I don't have a truth. Human beings don't have a truth. You're either of the lie, which is from your dad and Satan, or you're of the truth, which is from your father God. There's no such thing as human beings having their own truth.
Okay. Interesting. So when you express all of these, well, we know the things that you said, we'll get into them, but a lot of this started out of a not-for-profit organization and a mission called Bond, which you've talked about. You've already, you know, touched on the issues with your father. So do you want to just briefly explain what this organization does and how this has given you a platform?
Absolutely. Well, over the last 29 years, we have just evolved into so many different things now. I write books, as you mentioned. I do radio and TV shows. But we also tutor, we counsel, we help find jobs. We have a home for young men that we bring in from around the country, and we show them how to overcome that anger, because once they overcome that anger, they are ready to move forward. They judge people based on character and not color, and life is amazing. We also have an entrepreneur academy where we're teaching young men ages 15 and up how to start businesses, because a lot of these guys have great ideas about starting a business. So we bring them in. They have to do a one pager, and we read about them and if they fit, because we only take the people who are really ready to do it. And we bring in businessmen who are either retired or those in business, and we answer the question for these guys, but they have to get out there and do the work. We ask a question about marketing, how to save, how to invest, and all that stuff. And we also started a credit union, because a lot of these guys don't have money to start business, or they don't have credit or anything. And in some cases, especially with the black mothers, they put the boy's name in credit when they were little kids and messed their credit up even before they realized.
Yeah, right.
Isn't that amazing?
I'm familiar with that. When you're deep in poverty, oftentimes you read stories about families that that destroy their own members of their family just to get ahead by a couple hundred dollars.
And so we loaned them we started this little credit union. I went out and raised some money, and we started a credit union. So we loaned them the money, but they pay it back with small interest so we can keep it going. And there are quite a few of businesses have started, and it's just so amazing to see how these guys are just moving forward, like not even going north. And we... We work with, as the black people say, not going north, but we work with all races of men. We help women too, but our focus is on the man, because if we can get the men to return to their natural state of being, they can draw the woman back unto them, because the power is in the man, not in the woman. And so that's what we're doing on the bond. The businesses are going well. The guys are working hard. They're giving back their time, and some donate, and it's just really working out well. And we have done this without one dime from the government. The less government in your life, the better off you are. So we don't deal with the government at all.
Okay, perfect. So let's talk about that then. We've talked a little bit about the civil rights movement, but where you have, your explosion of fame online has really come from, pretty inflammatory statements related to blacks and the black community in America. So do you want to just tell us, you know, what is your main problem with blacks in America and black culture today?
My issue with black people is that they have refused to be individuals. They have refused to think and do for themselves. They love hating and blaming others. They feel, and not all, but most, they feel like victims. They love lies. And most black people don't believe in God. And as a result, they have no shame about anything. They have no shame about having babies out of wedlock. When I was growing up, that was an embarrassment. They have no shame about abortions, having abortions, and they have no shame about acting out and just going off on white people, because most black people hate white people. And they just have lost all sense of respect. And I would love for them to get to know themselves so they can repent and start living right, being right, so that they can get back to that natural state of being that they were prior to the civil rights, so-called civil rights movement, and then Lyndon B. Johnson bringing in the governmental program. Black people love to beg, and they love free stuff. They are now begging for reparations. They already got it. They've already received it, but they want more. The more you give them, the more they want. And I just want them to be more independent and have a sense of shame about being wrong.
Okay. And so, you know, we've already gone over and clarified about your ideas of isms, and that racism as itself doesn't exist. There's just right or wrong in your opinion. So do you, can you admit, or do you believe at least in part, that if it's not a racial system, but there are prejudices in place that perhaps make it difficult for certain people to advance in their own lives?
I admit that there is discrimination, but all races discriminate. You know, when I interview people for jobs, I discriminate because I want the best for the company. Or when I decide if I'm going to go out on a date, am I going to go out with a fat woman or a skinny woman? I'm discriminating.
That's true.
And when I decide, well, we all do it. I don't care what. And most people, like, they're afraid to admit that they do because they don't want to be called racist or whatever. But we discriminate every day, all day. And there's nothing wrong with that. We have a right. It was given to us by God to choose and do what we like, the thing that fit what we do. And so, but I venture to say that more black people discriminate against white people than white do black people, because white people have gone out of their way to appease black people. Black people complain about the neighborhood, so they allow the whites allow them to move in. They complained about the schools, so whites said, all right, y'all can come on into my schools. They complain about the jobs. All right, y'all can come on into our jobs. And without even having to earn it, only because they're black. And then they complain about the movie industry. Now the movie industries are letting them in without earning it. And it's just not enough. The more they even complain about the white woman. Remember when black people complained they couldn't get a white woman?
I don't know if I remember that. but I'll take your word for it.
So white people said, all right, y'all can have our women. And they're still not satisfied, because the more you give someone without them earning it, the worse that they will become. And that's the condition of black people today. We gave them Obama phones, free Obama phones. Matter of fact, we gave them a so-called black president, thinking that, I knew it wasn't going to help, but thinking that they would settle down and realize that white people are not against them. They got worse rather than getting better. There's more hatred now from blacks toward whites than any other time in the history of America because of Obama. And Obama was the worst, most hated, weak, pathetic, poor excuse of a president that we ever had. He and Big Mama Michelle was a disgrace to America. I call Obama the fall of Messiah and Michelle Big Mama, because they divided the races. They hate whites. They hated the Jews. And they did nothing to help black people, and things just got worse. Blacks got to start thinking for themselves, repent, and start living the life the way it's supposed to be in order to get better. And nothing white people can do anymore.
Because you have it, and again, I believe that I understand where you're coming from. You say a lot of inflammatory things to sort of get to the point of this, and you know, one of the
what's inflammatory that I say? I don't know. Everything is so true. Well, what I
let,
say.
Let
I
me take an example then, and we'll see if you can at least agree with it.
Yes.
So you know, just watching some of the stuff you said yesterday, one of the things that came out was, you know, you've expressed opinions that said blacks should be sent back to the plantations, and that apartheid was a good thing. Now, I don't believe that you mean that blacks should be controlled. What I take that message to mean, from what I understand, is that we've lost the value of hard work and taking pride in our rewards, is the way that I hear that. But I just wanted you to sort of explain that, because, you know, people are really fired up about this when you read the comments online.
Yes, Jesse, you are absolutely right. As I said, when I was growing up on the plantation, we worked from day one. When I would get home from school, I would have to take off my school clothes, go and rest and work the rest of the evening in the cotton fields and things until the sun went down a little bit. And then when I got home, we had to do things around the house, cut wood. The boys had to cut wood and prepare for the evening. The girls did things inside the house. And so we grew up working, not begging, but working. And so nowadays, most black people are lazy. They don't want to work. The men are as bad as the women because they've been raised by single women. So they are women themselves. They become like their mothers. So they're angry, emotional, and lazy and doubtful, just like their mothers. And so when they don't like work at all. So when I said that they should go back to the plantation, whatever I said, I meant so that they could go back and learn value, learn how to work, learn how to earn their way, to teach their children to work and stop begging and give rather than beg and be ashamed of that, because that's how we grew up. In those days, black people had a sense of respect and they love work. They didn't mind work. But those values are gone now because blacks have been spoiled by the government and by white people being afraid and just giving them everything they want. And so now they hate work and they love to beg.
Okay. So one of the things that I want to ask you about then, one of the other statements that you've made is, so again, talking about, you know, getting things for free or dividing people, you've also said that Black Lives Matter is a worse outfit than the KKK. So I guess why is that, if we consider both are detrimental, but why are they worse?
Black Lives Matter is an organization that was founded by and started by a bunch of black lesbians and black radical homosexuals and godless white social justice warriors. And they went around the country shouting, what do we want? Dead cops. When do we want it now? Pigs in the blanket from like bacon. And as soon as they did that, other blacks went out and started killing white officers. And instead of repudiating Black Lives Matter, arresting them, Barack Obama invited some of the heads of them to the White House more than once.
Really? Okay.
That's right. At least, and then when there is a black on white situation or a cop, white cop on a black situation, never mind that most of you blacks who are getting in trouble with the cops are thugs. These people will go and support the thug and pretend that the cop is racist or something because he's white. And it's just not true. And so at least when KKK existed, they only hurt a few black people. But Black Lives Matter are killing the souls of a lot of black people by getting them, encouraging them to hate white people and blame white people for their problems. And it's better to preserve the soul and kill the body than it is to kill the soul and preserve the body. And Black Lives Matter are killing souls of black people. And they are worse than the KKK as a result of that.
So, but you're framing this around Black Lives Matter. You're not really talking about the things that the KKK have historically done. So do you, I mean, are you not
the only thing they did pretty much what the black on black people doing to each other today. The angry KKK, those who are angry white people, they went and they hung a few people, they hurt a few people, but at least they weren't killing thousands and thousands of black people every day in most of the urban areas as they are today. And so the black people are worse than what the KKK, the ones who are killing each other, killing the souls and robbing and raping and murdering, just doing all kind of crime and get away with it. And they're doing the same thing to white people. So they're worse than the KKK.
Okay. And so just again, because people misinterpret this, this is more of a philosophical thing where you're saying, well, they might not be murdering them. What they're teaching and instilling in them is degrading their value and soul.
That's right. The hatred that they're teaching is killing the soul. And the blacks grew up more angry and out of control. And each generation are getting worse. because they have been taught by the generation before them to hate rather than love.
So you, from your perspective and where you've gotten this celebrity from that's based your career is around black culture and how that's framed against whites. So what are your views on other races that aren't black or white, you know, like Asians, Hispanics, and other, you know, I guess groups?
Well, the same thing that you see happening or has happened to black people is starting to happen to Hispanic groups now, and some Asian educated ones in this country are getting involved, and they're becoming liberals, and they're on the side of evil. But normally, those people stay to themselves, the Asians and others. The so-called Hispanics, the Mexicans, they are more like the blacks in that they're giving up values now, and they are becoming spoiled by the Democrats because the Democrats are giving them free stuff and making them feel that they are wrong. I mean, wrong is right. And the bad old white man is against them because of racism. So you're starting to see the Mexican groups falling away from values and looking for free stuff and becoming just like the blacks. They're going down the same pathway that the blacks have already taken. And by the way, they don't like the blacks. The Mexicans do not like black people. In Mexico, and I've gone to Mexico several times, blacks are hated in Mexico. They're second-class citizens. So when they come to this country and they move into urban areas, it's the same treatment. They're running blacks out of their own communities. They're taking jobs away from them. They're bringing in drugs and crime. They're having babies out of wedlock. And so at these county facilities, the Mexican women are lining up, and a lot of black women can't get in there to have their babies out of wedlock.
So one of the things that I do appreciate about you, and I like this about anyone, is that you say that you're proud to be an American. And I'll give you a second to expand on that, but I like that. I like the idea that if, you know, you live in a country and you're proud to be there, you want to be involved in it, and you want to assist and build your life in there. But the question that I have for you, and I've had this conversation with a number of people I know, because again, we're not Americans, we're not from that country, but in the US, there seems to be this people's self-identity is a hyphenated American. There's very few people that seem to be just proud to be American. They have to be African-American, Irish-American, Italian-American. Why are there so few people in the States that can, regardless of their belief system, color of their skin, who their parents and grandparents are, why aren't they just happy to say, I'm in America and I'm proud to be an American?
Because they're listening to the traitors of truth. They're listening to these so-called leaders who want power and wealth. And so they tell these black people, Mexicans and other, that they're hyphenated because they know that as long as they can keep us divided, then they can conquer. And their desire is power and wealth. And so it's dumb to think that you're born in America and somehow or another you're hyphenated, African or stuff. These people wouldn't know Africa if it slapped them in the face. But they've listened to someone else who are using them, like the black race hustlers and others, rather than thinking for themselves. I've always, even as down in Alabama, I knew I was born in America. I am an American. And I have always known that. And until the so-called civil rights movement started, no one tried to say otherwise that we were something else. And I always tell people now I am not an African American. I don't have an Afro. I have an Amerifro. There are no African drums beating in my chest. The American guitar is playing in my heart. Black as an ace of space. Born in Alabama, raised on a plantation, born on that plantation, grew up under Jim Crow laws, and black as the ace of spades, but 100% American. I literally love my country. I am so grateful that God made it possible for me to be born in Alabama. My mama dropped me in Alabama, and I'm so thankful.
Jesse, that's amazing.
That's amazing.
So there are a lot of people that won't share your viewpoints on everything. But if you could sort of distill your belief system, you know, briefly, what would be the ideal scenario of your society?
That my idea is that they have to get to know themselves, admit that they're wrong for having anger because anger separates you from what is right, and it's separate and causing you to hate all people, including yourself, and you will suffer from that. They have to love their earthly father, forgive their mothers for turning them against the fathers, because women have a secret hatred for men because of that order. Men represent God on earth, and the women, for the most part, don't. And so they don't realize it, but their spirit inside of them hate the sons of God, and that's why they're trying to destroy them. So return to the fathers by forgiving their mothers and forgiving the fathers, and they will have perfect peace. And then they can see that it's not about race. It's not about male or female. It's about the God that you serve. You're either on the side of evil or you're on the side of good. And it has nothing to do with your fellow man. It's all in your hand. And you start thinking for yourself. You treat people the way you would like to be treated. And you're honest with people, but you have no judgment, no resentment of anyone. And anyone who has anger, they judge. They can't help it but be judges. They're playing God. And so the perfect life is to forgive, return to your earthly father, and then you shall be free. And life is amazing once you become free.
And so you've also gone publicly on record to say that it was a terrible decision to allow women to vote. So, you know, where do they fit in your society? Do they not have a voice?
The point that I would make it with that is that if you notice that when, especially liberal women, I was really talking about liberal women because those women who love their earthly father, they think and respond like a man would, with logic rather than emotion. But those who hate their earthly father are very emotional. They're driven by thoughts and emotion, right? And if you notice, ever since they've given these women the right to vote, every wicked thing that you can think of is coming to the forefront. So-called same-sex marriage. We all know that that's wrong. But because the women are ruling now, the men are weak, and they're afraid to say that. So they let these women bring that into the forefront. Now we have abortion at a point where they want to kill the baby, even at the ninth month. And in some cases, if the baby come out alive, let it die on the medical table. That's because of these liberal women taking over the government, making decisions that are all wrong. If you look at the family, they have destroyed most men. Now, men are afraid to speak up and stand up and be a man because they're afraid of the women. There are laws now that are against men. A woman can just lie on a man and pretend that it happened. And because of the laws, men are not protected. The women are protected. And during a divorce case, the women take the children away from the fathers. And even if the court gave them visitation rights, the women try to dictate the visitation rights. And that's all because they have come into a so-called power, which is not real power, and they have passed laws that goes against men rather than for men and families. And that would have never happened if men were in control. It's only because these women have taken over and women do not make logical decisions.
So what about, you know, so we've now talked about blacks and women within sort of the role of your worldview. With the internet and how diverse groups can be, it's been quite interesting to me to see where the new right is coming from. And I think we both understand that term of, you know, new conservatives who don't fit the mold. You've got a very traditional stance through social conservative Christian views, but what's your opinion when you know, because some of the points that you're saying are very attractive to other people that I know who define themselves as conservative and Republican, but these are now also, these people are atheists, they're gays, they still believe in family values and the strong role of a man. Part of what you're saying is attracting this sort of group. What's your opinion on that?
Because in their hearts, they know that what's right. All human beings know what's right in their hearts. And so when these men and women hear me speak these things, something inside reminds them that, you know what, you already know this. This is true. And unfortunately, because they didn't have perfect parents, they fell into that fallen state. And once they hear the real truth, they awaken to that truth. And that's why a lot of them are starting to overcome that fallen state. They agree. And they agree with me where I'm coming from because they can identify it before themselves. They are not just taking my word at it. They can see it for themselves that what I'm saying is true.
But for a lot of them, it doesn't change their belief system. A lot of them remain atheists, or it doesn't turn them straight when they're gay, but they still share sort of the way that society should be in a lot of ways.
Well, some do, you're right, but some do, and those who admit that they're wrong and they go back and forgive their parents for failing them, there are so many men and women who have overcome homosexuality and lesbian. And
why do you enjoy saying that term in that tone all the time? It's very amusing to me.
Yes, it just sounds like a made up word. It doesn't even sound. It just sounds like somebody walking down the road one day, and it just felt like a lesbian, right?
Driving past their car, right? Screaming out the window.
Yeah, it just seemed like a made up word, lesbian.
Let's look. We're getting, you know, into the end of our conversation today, and I just wanted to talk a little bit more about politics. So, you know, some people would know, some people wouldn't know, but the Democrat Party in the U.S. tended, you know, going back 75, 100, 150 years, was the party more of that was more entrenched in this idea of racism, but over time they've become the socially progressive party that's, you know, worked with minorities to pick up the vote. So do you want to just, you know, we've talked about civil rights, but you're also very opinionated against socialism. Do you want to talk about how you view it and how it's destroyed the country, and where the role then of charity sort of fits in to assist, you know, people who aren't well off?
Very good question again. The Democratic Party is the enemy, one of the enemies of all people, but especially black people and Hispanics now, because that party only cares about itself. It's a socialist party. And socialism is set up in order to control you, that whoever running the system would gain power and wealth. That's what socialism is all about. And I call the Democrats the children of the lie. And as I mentioned, I think I mentioned, the children of the lie are the liberal media, the Democratic Party, the right-o Republicans, the never-Trumpers, and the black race hustlers. They are children of the lie. And if you want to know what socialism would do to you, look at the black community. The black community is a socialist community now. They were not like that prior to the civil rights movement. But they rely on the government to think, to feed them, to house them, to give them free education, to give them a free Obama phone, or free everything. And that it wasn't like that. And by these people ushering in socialism today, or trying to, on the Democratic Party, is absolutely evil. And it's so far left now that I almost forget that long time ago, maybe they meant well. I don't think the Democratic Party ever meant well about anyone. Because when I was growing up, black people were Republicans. As a matter of fact, the Republican Party got started because of blacks and whites working together. They started that party. And then that's why the KKK started, in the original intent was to try and destroy the Republican Party back then. Because blacks,
really? Is that true?
Yeah. Because black people were, and whites started that party, because blacks were not allowed to be a part of the Democratic Party. And so the Republican Party was started by blacks, and they were becoming congressmen and senators and all that, and they were gaining power. So the KKK was started to stop them from existing, not this whole other thing that it ended up becoming. And so, but the Democratic Party wants socialism in order to control the people. In the same manner they have done for the blacks, and they're doing it to the Mexicans by allowing them to come into our country across the borders illegally. They don't want the Great White Hope to put up a big, beautiful wall to stop these people. And these people are coming from S-hole countries, bringing in their S-hole crimes. And
you can say it. You can say it, you know. I'd be more interested in hearing that. So
they want to control them, Jesse, by giving them free stuff. So when they come here, the first thing the Democrats do is offer them free education, free housing, free medical care, free everything. Because once you give somebody something free, you then control them. And that's what the party is all about. That's socialism.
With your show, The Fallen State, you oftentimes bring on a lot of left-leaning Democratic voices. I won't even say for debate. One of the things that I appreciate about your program is that you guys don't sit there and yell at each other, which is what a lot of these conversations are these days. Right. And I quite enjoy that.
Thank you.
But you've got quite an entrenched set of views. What I want to know is, when is the last time that you've had a guest or someone in conversation with differing viewpoints where they've been able to alter your opinion on a topic?
I've never had it.
Never.
Never, because they are in a fallen state. They don't have the truth. And so, but I understand that they're in a fallen state. So when I talk to them, I speak in a way in hopes that they will recognize that truth within themselves and they will wake up. And a lot of people are waking up. And so I don't judge them. I don't have any personal feelings toward them because I understand I was there at one time. So I understand that they cannot see. And they know not what they do. Now, some of them have stated statements that were true. And I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. That's right. When they're right, I agree. But that's rare. Because in a fallen state, you can't be of the lie and of the truth. You either love one or hate the other. So people in a fallen state hate the truth.
So, and as we move through this, we're now the U.S. elections are going to come up in 2020 again. Trump's coming up for re-election. I'll ask you, there are other names in the Democrat Party like Andrew Yang, who's starting to build a lot of momentum. But what I wanted to ask you about is there is a lot of people that I'm speaking to in the U.S. who are now viewing Trump as quite ineffective, and they're angry that the wall's not getting built, that he's now said we do need more immigrants, that the federal deficit is still growing. You, clearly, I would make the assumption that you're still a big fan of him, but is there a certain point where you think that he becomes as ineffective as the way that these people are, the way that MAGA Trump supporters are now starting to view him?
You know, I love the great white hope.
And?
I when he first announced that he was going to run, I said then, he will win.
Okay.
Because he's a perfect love. He has no fear. He put the country first. He admitted that he is a nationalist, which I love because I'm one too. He put the country first. And in spite of the oppositions, the rhino Republican, the children of the lie, fighting against him. So far, he has succeeded in all that he said he was going to do so far. The wall is already going up. Portion of the wall is being put up. And I have to tell you, Justin, the wall is going up. Oh, the wall is going up. And the president is going to get the money. He announced a national emergency. And there's going to be voted on this bill Thursday. They come in Thursday to decide if they're going to give him the money. The answer will be no, they're not going to give it to him. But he'll veto that, and he will find the money, and the wall will go up. And I understand that people in a fallen state, if they don't have the patience to wait and see, they don't understand that when you're fighting the type of battle that this president is fighting, he has to fight through it. But he will get it done, and to be patient and stick with him, because the liberals, the children of the lie, do not want the people to stick with the president. They want to turn you against him so that they can get him out, and then they can come in and they will destroy you. But the wall going up, Jesse, I'm telling you that.
And so what do you think about, because Trump, along with guys like Ron Paul in the last few years, are the first few sort of Republicans that I've heard of that have spoken out against, foreign wars, foreign aid, and foreign intervention. Are you still pro-war in terms of, delivering democracy to nations internationally?
I believe that there's a time for war, but we have to be careful about the battles that we fight. I don't think we need to be around the world trying to save everybody. I think there are time to help and time not to help. And the thing I like about the Great White Hope, he seemed to understand those times, when to and when not to. So I totally appreciate that about him. If Obama was in the White House, we'd be fighting all over the world, losing battles, because he's not a real man. He's a beta. And so he just...
Okay. One of the guys, I mentioned him before. So there's a Democrat serial entrepreneur involved in tech, a guy by the name of Andrew Yang. Have you heard of this guy yet or seen what he's doing in the primaries?
Yeah, I'm starting to hear more and more about him, yes.
Okay, so he's he seems to be quite switched on as far as I'm concerned, whether or not I agree with his viewpoints. But one of the things that he's putting his campaign and platforming on is the immense automation of the workforce as technology increases. And he's gone out and he's starting to back this universal income proposition where people will be handed, you know, $1,000 a month regardless.
I know.
Naturally, he's starting to build up a lot of steam with younger people. Now, I know your positions on getting free things without working for it. That's not my question. I'm not saying I agree with that either, but I do realize that he's probably quite right as we move forward in the next 20, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, that automation is going to put the majority of people out of the workforce. Do you agree with that, or what do you think is sort of going to happen when there really isn't enough jobs for people because computers can handle all the work?
Well, I know that there are people pushing for automation, of course, but I still think there will always be work that we can do with our hands. They're going to always need people doing things, creating new things, and you're going to always need someone to work certain aspects of jobs in life. So I don't think we will ever be out of work. The only way we would be out of work is that the people stop being creative within themselves. And they stop starting or founding small businesses and things like that, because as long as you start businesses, you always need employees. And so one of the things that this guy is doing, he's offering this free money. He's trying to buy votes. But I have to tell you, Jesse, it's not going to work with the president. He's going to have this guy. What's his name?
It's Andrew Yang.
Andrew Yang going to have to bring his mama, his daddy, his brother, and his sister to beat out the Great White Hope. I believe, as of this day, giving people free money is not going to be enough to stop the people from voting the Great White Hope in for another 4 years. So that's not going to work. At this point, I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but at this point, there's no one that's running, including Yang, that can beat the president. The Great White Hope, you got to realize that the Great White Hope is a white, straight, Christian, conservative man of power, and he loves what's right. And there's no way evil can conquer that. And that's why they hate him, because everything they do, give free money and do whatever they want, they still can't beat out the president. And he's still, Jesse, he's still more popular than what the media and others are telling you. The folks in this country love the Great White Hope. They know we've suffered a lot in this country, especially under Barack Obama, the first so-called feminist president. We suffered under that man, and God has given us another chance. The people recognize that, the young and the old. So there are more support for the president than what you're hearing in the media. Be not deceived.
Jesse Lee Peterson, this has been very, very interesting. Thank you for your time today.
Jesse, I got to tell you, not only is your name amazing, but you are amazing.
All right, I hope to do this again soon.
Yes,
thank you.
The conversation was amazing. Thank you for the conversation.